south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Okay, now, here's an email I know is going to be of great interest to many of you gringos and expats already living down here, and you expat gonna-bes and wannabes. This one comes from one of our regular and frequent listeners, P.T. Marcos, and he entitles it, Gringos Working Off the Books in Latin America. Which means, of course, gringos and expats, under the radar, paying no taxes, no receipts or interactions with the government tax authorities at all. Now, before I get into this, I have to mention that according to Latin media and government studies, between 30 to 40% of all the business done in Latin America is done off the books, meaning cash and carry. Basically, rudimentary Adam Smith capitalism in its pure, unadulterated form, which is so unlike today's international version of capitalism, which is poisoned and tainted by governmental favoritism and monopolies. So in the third world, you've got 30 to 40% of all business off the books, but in the first world, you've only got about 5 to 10% of business done off the books. Even so, first world governments want to squeeze every bit of tax out of that segment, too. And the only way to do that is to eliminate cash, which is why there's big talk along those lines right now. And I really believe soon enough it will happen up by you. But down here, well, it's so very doubtful. It would just be political suicide. There'd be so much pushback. And even if they did an experimental trial run, people who are off the books now still won't pay tax. They'll find a way. They'll barter chickens for avocados, for dental services, for eyeglasses and spare tires and boob jobs, etc. But I digress. Man, did I digress. Anyway, let's get to this email from P.T. Marcos. He says, Johnny, if you don't mind, here's a quick update on the fast deteriorating Canadian home front. A few days after the Panama Papers were released, Canada grabbed the baton and announced new legislation and a historic infusion of cash to crack down on our own tax evaders. And why not? Canada's already one of the most heavily taxed countries in the world, even more so than the U.S. Then he says with disgust, Johnny, what a government we have here in Canada that would take such immediate action only days after the release of the Panama Papers. The article says the Canadian government is paying $444 million for new staff to collect an estimated $2.6 billion over 5 years. So, over 5 years, we come out ahead by only $76 million a year, which will reduce the annual deficit by, get this, less than 2%. Great, huh? Now only 98% to go. And now the government can watch us more closely than ever, just in case we somehow become a little less Canadian and decide to perhaps vote with our feet. Now, Johnny, on the same topic, you know, just like in the U.S., your Canadian listeners should also remember that if they wire any amount over 10 grand to a destination outside Canada, they should add a note in the comment field of the wire transfer to say hello to and thank the friendly government weasel who will be dutifully scrutinizing and recording that transaction. But beyond this quick update for your Canadian listeners, this is what I really would like to talk about. You've advised your listeners to set up SA corporations in Latin America, which is a great recommendation. But it seems something that we would want to implement once our businesses are more established down there. Am I right about this? And if so, how about those folks who are starting up businesses from scratch with few assets and a fledgling income? I'm asking this question because someone I know outside of Canada has had a business off the books altogether. This person was living on the tourist trail in one of your own less recommended countries in Latin America. However, over time, he started providing the service and attracted a number of gringo clients through word-of-mouth recommendations. He didn't feel he was taking work from the locals as he was the only one providing this service in that particular way. With only working at that job 1 hour a day, he was able to pay all his expenses except rent, which he paid from his savings. He said that fellow gringos advised him that as long as he didn't advertise with classified ads or posters or anything that government officials could track, he would stay off the radar. However, the most interesting part was that this guy said he had never felt so free as when working for himself in this small way. But before long, he returned up north to go back to his regular job and keep paying into his pension. So after all that, on the treadmill again. Of course, you might never recommend working like this, Johnny, but from an observer's point of view, have you come across many gringos who start up small businesses off the books and perhaps later get the paperwork done to make it legal? I guess people do what they need to do to survive. Just curious and wondering about all that. P.T. Marcos. Well, P.T., I'm glad you brought up those points and questions. I do personally know a lot of gringos and expats down here who are completely off the books, and almost all of them with internet businesses or what you might call one-off mobile businesses without repeat customers. So what do I mean by that? Well, here's an example. I know one gringo who was a custom tile contractor up in the States, and he's found that same niche down here within the high roller Latin community. His one-off clients are Latins with money to burn. They have three or four houses, one at the beach, one in the mountains, one in the Altiplano, one near their business, and one, well, maybe even in my jammy. And it is a word-of-mouth business. He's done pools and bathrooms and beach houses and some really excellent custom kitchen and bar countertops. A complete fanatic about the details, which is what Latin Americans are woefully short on, details. So this expat, a German countertop, tile, and marble worker, fills that little niche nicely. Yes, he came over from Germany 10 or 12 years ago, and now he's kicking ass down here. Kicking ass off the books. And funny enough, he tells me some of his best clients are scumbag politicians, who know he's working off the books and pay cash anyway. He tells me he only works about 4 or 5 months a year, makes about 40 or 50 grand. And you know, on that kind of money, you can live the life of a prince. So he's kind of an odd case in that he has no repeat customers, so people don't care that he doesn't give out a real receipt. However, just about every gringo and expat I know down here who has a brick-and-mortar business, obviously with repeat customers, is on the books and paying taxes. But taxes down here versus that 50% or more you pay up in the States, well, it's a completely different world. And when you hear that, for example, a country like Nicaragua, Ecuador, Honduras, or Guatemala has a 10, 15, 20, or 25% personal tax rate, that may sound scary, but it's not really the case. The fact is, almost no one, especially people with their own businesses, ever pay the maximum rate, not even close. Admittedly, that's confusing because I get emails from people telling me they looked up, for example, Ecuador, and they see that the tax rate is, what, 25 to 30% maximum? And they say that's like jumping from the tax frying pan into the fire. Well, that's because they looked it up on the net and took it for gospel. They don't live there or have boots on the ground to see what it's really like. In fact, let me throw this example at you. Just this weekend, the famous John Galt and I and some others were invited to stay at a gringo friend's Oceanside beach house for a couple of days. That friend, a gringo, was talking about his particular brick-and-mortar business that he's had 10 or 12 years down here. He mentioned it's harder and harder to do banking internationally now, and that he had been given notice that some of his international bank accounts have been closed simply because he's a gringo and they no longer want gringo customers. Then, during that discussion, he made the offhand comment about taxes here in Latin America. He said someday he's probably going to have to show a profit on his business because down at the tax office, some government slug just might think, how could someone continuously run hundreds of thousands of dollars through a business for years and years and not show a profit? Now note, this guy's got a number of buildings and at least 30 employees. Yet, according to him, he's never shown a profit in, what is it, 10 or 15 years now. And that's not unusual at all for Latin America. Most business owners expense their entire lifestyle that way. Now, don't get me wrong, he wasn't fretting over it. He just made an offhand comment, didn't seem too worried about it. But that does give you a good idea of what goes on down here, even when you're 100% on the books and legit. But remember, I'm talking specifically about my favorite places in the world that are off the gringo tourist trail. That's what happens when there's very few gringos and expats. You'll probably just end up falling in line and doing what the local Latin business owners do. And remember, down here, tax evasion is a national sport. And you know, Latin lawyers and accountants are quite skilled in that art. However, if you have a brick-and-mortar business on the gringo tourist trail, let's say in Costa Rica, you'll find out that for the vast majority of business owners, things are not going well. In fact, you might remember in a previous show I mentioned that 250, or was it 350, transnational companies have left Costa Rica in the last 2 years. How come first world media sources aren't reporting that, huh? They'll only report when Intel expands down there. And why is that? Well, that's because the government gives big transnationals like Intel a 10-year tax holiday. And of course, small mom-and-pop businesses will never get that. These days, gringo businesses on the tourist trail, like in Costa Rica, are under the microscope. The government milks them like cows until they go broke or just leave. Sound familiar? And on top of that, you've got labor unions to deal with now. Yep, they were at their peak back in the 60s and 70s up in States, and of course, now they're pretty much the walking dead. But down here in Latin America, with that lag time, there are certain Latin American countries on the gringo tourist trail where labor unions are coming into their own. Down here, the strongest and most powerful unions by far, the government employee unions. Well, I can imagine you're all shocked and surprised about that, huh? And believe me, they love to go on strike and picket and block traffic for things like more days off and higher wages, even though they get about twice as much as your average private sector worker. I know I'm repeating myself when I say, does that sound familiar? But does that sound familiar? So then what about gringos and expats working off the books? Now, remember, I said that most, if not all, of gringos working off the books have internet businesses, and they get paid by credit card, bank wire transfer, Bitcoin, or PayPal. Of course, there's always the odd gringo craftsmen who carve little boxes or owls out of things like petrified iguana turds and such, or they'll make and sell cheap jewelry or retro hippie bongs and hash pipes. Yes, occasionally you do run into a gringo gone native who sells junk on the street like that. Strictly cash, of course. But they don't make enough to live any better than an upscale backpacker. I hope none of you listeners up there fall into that category, but who knows? Now, the thing is, if you have an internet business off the books, most of your clients, if not all, will be out of country too. They could give a damn about the official government factura or receipt. They don't care. They've got their wire transfer or credit card or PayPal receipt as proof of purchase. Whereas, if you had in-country clients, they'd be demanding that government factura to get their business expense tax write-offs, which means your business will have to be registered on the books to get the proper receipts called facturas. So it's kind of the rule of thumb. If you have local clients, and a lot of them, you'll have to be on the books, have a business, give out those receipts called facturas. But if you have an internet business with mostly out-of-country clients, you can be completely off the books. Am I advocating that? Well, let's put it this way. One of the nice things about being in Latin America as opposed to the U.S. is down here, you can decide for yourself how much you're going to let the government pick your pocket. Okay, that said, P.T. Marcos in his email stated that perhaps you don't need an S.A. corporation if you're starting really small in business and haven't got rolling yet, which is absolutely true. The fact is, if you plan on investing in a big brick-and-mortar business here in Latin America, then an S.A. Corp just might be the right thing for you. Now, if you have a business in the name of an S.A. corporation, for example, Exterminadores de Plagas de Jesus, translation, Jesus Pest Extermination Service. Hey, don't laugh, that's a real company. Believe it or not, there's even one called Exterminadores de Americanos, which translates to American Pest Extermination Service. So are you an American pest? Well, you get the idea, but apparently the guy who thought of that name doesn't. Latins just love to stick the word American or USA in their advertisements because, well, it's part of that gringo advantage. So clueless Latins think it's trendy or cool. Meanwhile, we get a big kick out of it. In fact, go to my YouTube channel and you'll see the photos. So you might ask, how does it help you that your business is registered as an SA corporation? Well, let's say one of your employees ran over a pedestrian with the company car. They can't sue you personally for your assets, but they can sue the company, even if you're 100% owner of that SA corporation. Now, like I mentioned in a past show, it's very difficult to be off the books completely if you're on the gringo trail or in a gringoized area like Costa Rica. Because, you see, where there are a lot of gringos, the government knows, they can pretty much nickel and dime us to death. As a matter of fact, I know I mentioned this. There's a number you can dial, toll-free, in Costa Rica to report employer abuses, as well as the names and locations, etc., of people working off the books. And not surprisingly, over the years, it's become a sort of revenge hotline against bosses and employers. And funny enough, it seems that's about the only phone call you can make to government in Costa Rica, in Panama, and other places that actually gets through on the first try. Oh, and by the way, that toll-free number was initially set up some 20 years ago to trap undocumented Nicaraguans who were flooding into the country and taking jobs for cash. They'd work a lot cheaper than the native Costa Ricans. In fact, way back then, I had a Nicaraguan worker myself, and he told me that the Nicas would work the crap jobs that Costa Ricans were too proud to take. Hey, where have you heard that one before? So at first, you'd dial that hotline to report an illegal Nica. Then the government would deport him and fine or close down the business. Initially, it wasn't a move made against gringo employers at all. But Costa Rican employers, who'd much rather hire a Nica who'd work for cash and bust his butt too because he was so glad to have the job. However, over the years, that toll-free number has morphed into a kind of a gringo employer revenge hotline. So if a Costa Rican doesn't like his boss, or he doesn't like the way he's being treated, or he thinks he's going to get fired in the near future, he can beat him to the punch by calling that hotline. And even if you're playing completely by the rules, when the immigration slugs drop in, that'll ruin your whole day. By the way, I can't tell you how many gringos I know living in Costa Rica who much prefer Nicaraguan workers, Nicas. Because these days, with a huge gringo effect, the Costa Ricans are perezosos. Perezosos. Which means lazy ass, but literally translates to tree sloth. And why not? Sloths are indigenous to Latin America. I've seen a few myself. Both human and the hairy kind. Yep, there's a lot of them down here. Most of them working for, you guessed it, government. That would be reason 2,476 not to move to Costa Rica, which is 100% on the gringo tourist trail. Now note, you could have a very excellent lifestyle if you're slightly off the gringo tourist trail too. I'm talking about 10 or 20 kilometers away from a gringo tourist site. Yes, every Latin country, even the ones way off the gringo tourist trail, do have their little tourist zones. For example, Roatan and Copan are the two main gringo tourist sites in Honduras, a country that's in general way off the gringo tourist trail. Even El Salvador has a small little tourist area. It's on the Pacific beach side called La Libertad. And the country of Guatemala has three touristy areas, Antigua Guatemala, Panachel, and the Mayan ruins of Tikal. But we're talking about eco-tourism here, not your typical gringo Costa Rican Cancun tourism. You won't find testy parents in shorts and Budweiser t-shirts hauling their kids around looking for the nearest McDonald's or Burger King. Instead, you'll find the vast majority are eco-tourists or do-gooders on a mission, out to learn about the culture or build outhouses for Jesus. And some are here to explore the jungles and climb volcanoes, and many come down to learn their Spanish. They're not hauling whiny, spoiled brats around with them, so they're tolerable in small numbers anyway. So, for example, if you're thinking about San Juan del Sur, Nicaragua, or Granada, Nicaragua, those would be the two touristy places in that country. If you were in the center of things, you will pay higher prices because everything is becoming gringoized. However, if you live maybe 5 or 10 kilometers outside of those places, you could have a really great, inexpensive style of life and still be very close to the action. And by action, I don't mean your typical Costa Rica-style tourism action. Thank God. But we were talking about SA corporations, weren't we? And like P.T. Marco says, you probably don't need one unless you have a thriving business. Brick-and-mortar business, that is. However, since most countries in the world won't let gringos open up bank accounts anymore, that's an end run around that problem. You get yourself an SA corporation through your local Latin lawyer and let the SA corporation open that bank account. They don't care if the gringo is an owner or not. That's one easy way to transfer money down. Because believe me, you don't want any substantial cash in a bank up in the States. Not with those new bail-in laws, but you knew that already, right? Do have that as one of your top bullet points in your plan B. Which I assume by now, if you're listening to this program and others like it, you're seriously considering voting with your feet. Yeah, I know you're thinking, here comes the plug for the seminar, right? Well, gotta slip it in somewhere. Just go to www.thenewexpat.com. Click on Johnny's 2016 seminar link. And my promise to you, a 2 to 5 year head start on becoming a well-integrated expat gringo here in Latin America. In other words, the goal is to knock some of that clueless gringo sense out of you before you come down here permanently. Because I can tell you this, if you're going to try to come here and tough it out on your own, the first couple of years, you're going to make a lot of mistakes, costly mistakes. Almost every gringo and expat does. I did. But you don't have to, and you don't have to reinvent the wheel either. That's what the seminar is all about. And if you're coming down, don't forget about those amazing pre- and post-seminar trips being held by the famous John Galt. He'll show you an amazing side of Latin America you'll just never get to see if you book a trip on your own or you go through a travel agency. And we're not talking about running, jumping, or breaking a sweat either. Just believe me, an adventure you'll never forget. So click on his link at the top of the newexpat.com website. Enough said about that. Oh, here's something I promised I'd mention. I've been getting a lot of emails from people asking me about these works in gray. Those are obras en gris, those unfinished projects you see all over Latin America. Some of them nice big projects on great tracts of land. However, the owner ran out of dough or something happened or maybe his remises quit coming in. Who knows? And often weeks, months, even years go by and the place looks absolutely overgrown and abandoned. Often you see these places in very good upscale neighborhoods, guarded gated communities. And of course, you know already there's a big real estate bubble here. So imagine this. You go into a nice guarded gated community. Houses start at 200 grand or more. It would be a great place to live if the houses were half again as cheap. Meanwhile, if you could get in past the guard at that gated guarded community, you'd find, let's say, 100 lots. Maybe 60 to 70% of those lots have houses on them. Now, because we're in the bubble, the newer gated communities might only have houses built on 20% of the lots. Now, some of the older gated communities, 10 years old or so, might be 90% built up. That said, whether you're driving through old established colonies or not, you're going to find some of those unfinished obras in Greece. By the way, forgive me for saying colony. I don't like that word either. In Spanish, it's colonias, colonies. Reminds me of beehives. They don't call them subdivisions or housing developments or neighborhoods. They're colonies or colonias. In some of the emails from people wanting to check these distressed properties out, well, don't think you're going to find a listing of these things anywhere. And don't think if you get online with Remax or Century 21, they're going to tell you about these either. The only way you're going to find these things is if you come down and spend a week or two and travel around. Sure, you can come down, rent a car, try it on your own if your Spanish is perfect, but still there's no guarantee you're going to find these things in the places you want to live. You'd be so much better off hooking up with a bilingual person who has a car and who lives in the general area. This isn't a plug, by the way. I'm just mentioning it from all the emails I'm getting. People are saying, how do I find these things? Well, you'll have to do some drive-throughs in some of these upper-middle-class gated, guarded communities. And you'll always find some of those unfinished obras in Greece when you do. So you're looking at colonies or communities where the houses start at, let's say, $150,000 and up. And believe me, in the same neighborhoods, the same guarded gated communities, you can often find $150,000 houses all the way on up to multi-million dollar gigantic colonial estates. So it is possible you could pick up a cheap obra in Greece and your next door neighbor could be a president or a narco, which is pretty much the same thing. But you won't find those trashy concrete and laminate roof houses in these neighborhoods. The zoning rules in your gated community won't allow that. They'll have rules like minimum square foot size, maximum number of floors, and setbacks from the road, etc., which gives some exclusivity to each project. However, that doesn't mean your next-door neighbor with the million-dollar house has any class. He might just paint that house swimming pool turquoise or octopus purple and have weeping Jesus, Mary, and Joseph murals all over the place. So do expect a bit of that kind of stuff. This is Latin America and out of your control. At least when you get into one of these upscale gated guarded communities, people will have nice cars. No 1972 Buick lowriders on cinder blocks out in the driveway. We're talking about upper class Latins in these neighborhoods. They buy new cars. I know you'll have to see it to believe it, but some of these properties are amazing. They've got unbelievable landscaping and fountains and statues and waterfalls and infinity pools. Then, a block away is one of these abandoned obras in Greece. Go figure, huh? So bottom line, you'll find them in practically every subdivision. So when you come down here, you're going to have to hook up with someone that can get you in past the guards to have a drive around and spot these things out, which will be almost impossible for you to do on your own. How are you going to get past the guard? You'll have to do it with someone who's done it before, who knows their way in. You can't just drive up to a guard station without an invitation and say, "Hey, can I have a drive-through? I want to look at some property." That's not going to work. Well, I take that back. This is a macho society, so if you have a pretty girl driving, often that will be enough to get you past the gate. They're all suckers for a pretty face, and you got the gringo advantage going for you, too. In fact, I've gotten into a few gated, guarded communities over the years by pulling those tricks myself. Now, note that not all of these desperate sellers with obras in Greece are in gated, guarded communities. You'll see them everywhere. So if you're looking to homestead and pick up one of these out in the boonies, there are some great opportunities there, too, but you have to know where to look. You want to be in a good, safe, laid-back area with nice neighbors. So again, you'll need a bilingual local, what we call an expat concierge lady, to take you around. By the way, John Galt has such a service, so if you're interested, do check out his website. Now, here's a boots-on-the-ground story that ties right into this topic. Now, I mentioned before that just a few days ago, John Galt and I and a few others went to visit a friend of ours at his Pacific Coast beach house. And he has one of those little four-wheel drive ATVs, and he took us on a half-an-hour drive up and down the beach and showed us maybe 50 beautiful beach houses right on the ocean. And mixed in with those were maybe 10 obras in Greece, incomplete beach houses that have gone to seed. And as we were riding along, John Galt and I kept looking at each other, saying, "How is this possible? So many obras in Greece." And at the same time, we were thinking, "Man, beachfront living just ain't for us. Too hot, too humid, and we just end up drinking a case of beer a day and going to seed ourselves." However, that said, there are just countless gonna-bes and wannabes up there in Cleveland and New York who'd love nothing more than to have a beach house on the ocean. That would be their idea of retirement heaven. But then you have to wonder, why all those half-finished projects go in the seed there, right on the ocean? Now, because these aren't gated, guarded communities, there's really no zoning. So there's $50,000 houses right next to million-dollar houses. In fact, there was a million-dollar-plus compound that we passed, complete with a giant infinity pool, painted god-awful octopus purple. But he did have a purple helicopter, too, so everything did match. Which only goes to show that money can buy just about everything except class. Hey, we're getting towards the end now, so don't forget to go to my YouTube channel and check out the slides and photos that go along with the audio. Just go to YouTube, type in the expat files, and click on the very first thumbnail. That would be Santa Claus having a Mai Tai in a hammock. Then you'll get the whole YouTube expat file show rundown from top to bottom. And do subscribe. It's free.
South of the border.
You've been listening to the Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want me to help you sort out your own Latin American plans, schedule a one-on-one consult with me. Just send an email and let me know at theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.